south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
All right, so I'm doing this show remotely today because I've been traveling way south of the border. And already, after just a week's traveling, the boots on the ground stories are really piling up. Never a dull moment, you know, especially when you're off the gringo tourist trail and see how life really is here in Latin America. Not the fake tourist town gringo life, where the locals look at us like we've got dollar signs tattooed on our foreheads. You know what I'm talking about, or maybe you don't. Have you been on the gringo tourist trail much? Where gringos go to escape the craziness of the imploding first world that they themselves created through stupid laws and the terrible politicians they voted in. And when those gringos retire... Most of them, by the way, retired from the public sector. Wouldn't you know it, they want out, only to land in Latin America and recreate the very same problems and conditions once they get down. If I've seen it once, I've seen it 100 times. Anyway, as for me, I'm definitely not one of those on the tourist trail guys. In fact, I never was. That's not to say it isn't nice to visit the tourist trail hotspots for a week or so. I mean, look, everyone likes a nice all-inclusive beachfront resort once in a while, right? But that does get old quick, too. So, first off, let me ask you this. Have you ever seen anyone get killed right in front of you? I'm not talking about in the movies, nor avatars in video games. Nor am I talking to any of you guys and gals who had been unfortunate enough to have served in one of the U.S.'s idiotic, ever so f***ed up overseas wars. That's a different thing. I'm talking about just going about your day-to-day activities and suddenly someone gets killed right in front of you. Has that ever happened to you? Well, it happened to me a couple of days ago. In fact, in the 30-plus years I've been down here, I've actually seen 3 people get killed right in front of me. Every one of them, road accidents, and every one of them involving a motorcycle somehow. By the way, I've got sort of a sore throat coming on, so bear with me. So anyway, I'm talking about Cartagena, Colombia. Another really nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. That's a story for another day. Anyway, I was driving down a fairly busy street in a rental car. Just me alone, and you know, if you've ever been down here in a pretty busy Latin American city, you see people cross the street anywhere they feel like it. And of course, most people will go to the corner and cross at the semaforo, that's the intersection with the streetlights. But every so often, people will just dart right out in front of you. You have to keep an eye out for that. Especially be on the lookout for the occasional foolish mother who bolts out into the street with her kid in tow. So anyway, I'm driving down this fairly busy two-way street. Just one lane of traffic on each side. I must have been driving about 30 or 35 kilometers an hour. That's about 20 miles an hour. And immediately to my left is the left lane with oncoming traffic. Fairly sparse, too, in that moment, anyway. Most of the heavy traffic was in my lane going east. So anyway, to my left, there's oncoming traffic. And farther to the left, a sidewalk with people walking back and forth. And I see about a half block up ahead, there are 2 20-somethings standing there, a guy and a girl. Perched on a curb, waiting to bolt across the road. And in a few seconds' time, when I finally get up to close to even with them, they bolt right out. The girl first, she was kind of heavy, probably 200 pounds. She sprinted right in front of my car. The guy stopped in the middle of the road, and when she passed my car, she was close enough to touch my hood. I almost hit her, but didn't. When she passed my car and was free and clear, so I thought, boom, I see her flying through the air. A big girl, too, and I heard a crunch at the same time. I hit the brakes, and I saw something slide out in front of me, directly to my right, and I saw a mangled pile of metal, plastic, and boxes, and a guy's body on the ground, all twisted up like Gumby. Turns out, on my far right, you know that little space between your car and the sidewalk? That's a place motorcyclists love to weave in and out of. So, a motorcycle delivery guy was whipping past at the same time, completely blind to the lady. So, when she got past the right corner of my car, my headlight, the idiot motorcyclist, probably going 40 or 50 kilometers an hour, just mowed her down at full force, hit her and killed her. And the idiot motorcycle guy, they took him to the hospital too. He was all twisted up and mangled, the way his head was cocked, looked like he broke his neck. And of course, all traffic stopped and the gapers got out to see what was going on. By the time I was able to stop, I was about a block ahead of him already. I pulled over, saw the chaos, saw the mess, and the guy who was with that lady, her friend or walking partner, whatever, he didn't get hit, but he was in shock seeing her get killed right in front of him. By the way, the cops and a rescue squad got there within 10 minutes because they were only two or three blocks from a hospital. Now, in that pedestrian gapers crowd, I heard a lot of people say that motorcyclist, if he survives, should go to jail for life. There were plenty of witnesses that saw it was his fault. Oh, and one lady said, when crowded around that motorcycle guy on the ground, she said, keep an eye on him. If he gets up, don't let him get away. Because that's what 99.9% of motorcyclists do when they get an accident. If the bike still runs, they jump on it and get the hell out of there. If it doesn't, and the driver can still walk or run, he leaves the scene too. In fact, in my 30 years down here, I've seen two major chicken bus accidents where both times the driver jumped out and ran away. Wait a minute. Just to clarify this a bit. Believe me, I've seen many more than just two chicken bus accidents. I've pulled up on many scenes where there had been an accident just minutes before. But there were two specific chicken bus accidents where I was one of the eyewitnesses. Both times the driver escaped from the scene. So then why would they do that? Well, first off, they break every traffic rule in the book. They run red lights and stop signs, and they pass on curbs. I've spoken to the police about chicken bus drivers who drive like shit, and they tell me at least half of them are alcoholics. And there's another 50%, the cops say, who are driving on expired or fake licenses. So next time you think it's a fun and quaint thing to ride on a chicken bus, get that photo op. Especially when you're way out in the boonies, when they're absolutely filled to the brim with indigenous people in all their colorful clothes. Just know that you're taking a chance. It's a 50-50 shot the guy's even got a valid license. On top of that, it's a 50-50 shot the guy's had a few shots before his shift. Which reminds me, I'll never forget the time, I think it was my fourth seminar, about 10 years ago now. Our little group was driving around in our nice late model air-conditioned bus, just a bit outside Guatemala City. We were on a boots-on-the-ground mission checking out the boonies. We were about to go into a sharp, blind curve, so we slowed down. When we got through the turn, we had to stop. We were stuck in a gaper's block. And as we slowly slipped on by, we noticed the chicken bus was flipped on its side in a gutter on the side of the road. How did it get there? You didn't have to be a genius to figure out that the idiot dickhead driver either took the turn at too high a speed and lost control, or tried to pass someone on that curve and there was oncoming traffic. But I'll tell you, it was a real eye-opening moment for all the people at the seminar. They certainly learned something that day. Anyway, that same day I saw that lady get killed, I booked a room in a brand new high-rise hotel. You know, in the newer hotels, elevators actually talk to you. They've got some kind of AI system in them that can actually sense certain things about the passengers. So whether you like it or not, even hotel elevators are collecting data on you. The latest and greatest ones are, anyway. What a revolting development, huh? By the way, here in Latin America, the more you pay for a hotel, that is the higher end hotel you choose to stay at, and the more well-known the name of the hotel is, the more gringos and expats you'll see. That's why, of course, all the gringo tourist spots have Hiltons and Hyatts and Intercontinentals, Marriotts, Princess Hotels, Clarion Suites, all the familiar first world names. Gringos on vacation like them because they're known commodities. Anyway, just the other day I was in a new high-rise hotel, got into the elevator with about four other people. I'd never met them before, but I knew they were all gringos. You can spot them anywhere in the world in a second. At least I can. Anyway, we get into the elevator. I'm going to the sixth floor. They're going to, I don't know, the 10th floor, whatever. And being that it's a brand new building, I think it's only open for 3 months. The elevator is state-of-the-art, AI, with touchscreen and a synthetic lady's voice meeting and greeting you and telling you which floor you're passing. You know, all that glad you're here, happy to have you, enjoy your stay bullshit. So sincere coming from a bloodless robot, huh? Anyway, I noticed that elevator's touchscreen was continuously reading out streams of data, including the speed of the elevator, inside and outside temperature, the time elapsed from the floor you got in to the floor of your destination. I'm not kidding. On top of that, it listed the elevator's maximum capacity of 1,000 kilograms and 12 people. Here's the thing that made me laugh, though it shouldn't have surprised me. Every time someone got in or out, it did the adding and subtracting of people and weight. Now, as for me, I've been in and out of that elevator a lot because I stayed there for a couple of days. And although the sensors always got the gross weight right, unless there were only one or two people in the elevator, it always seemed to get the head count wrong. For example, one day, there were five people in the elevator. The weight showed 650 kilograms, and the sensors counted 8 people when there were only 5 of us in there. But we were 5 gringos, 5 Americans. So here's the funny part. The elevator's sensors seemed to think that 5 Americans equaled 8 Latin Americans. I could only think of the moment that a wokester might interpret that as the elevator being racist. Well, I'll leave it to you guys to sort that one out. By the way, oddly enough, I've been in newer buildings with elevators here in Latin America. Where the door closes, a buzzer goes off, the door opens again, and you haven't moved anywhere. In other words, the elevator's overloaded and shut down. That ever happened to you up in the States? It's happened to me a bunch of times down here. Now, speaking of elevators here in Latin America, I've had a number of gringas, not gringos, gringas, you know, American ladies, express their fear of elevators because of the occasional power outage here in Latin America. You know, that's a common theme in a lot of horror and zombie apocalypse movies, right? Just think about it. What if you were in an elevator on your way to the 6th floor, let's say, and the power went out? The lights, the air circulation fan, everything. It'd be panic button time, right? Well, not to worry. All Latin American countries have laws now that you can't install an elevator, you can't get a building permit to even put one in, unless you've got an on-site, standalone, automatic start diesel generator. In fact, all the elevator companies offer generator packages, so that's good news. Though, some of you just might be thinking that since, you know, the word maintenance doesn't appear in the Spanish language, what good is a generator or even elevator if it's not maintained? Well, down here in Latin America, they've got that covered too. When you buy an elevator, you're forced to buy the maintenance package. The First World Service Contract. All commercial elevators come from First World Enterprises. There are no Third World elevator companies. So it's pretty much the same question that comes up when you're talking about First World style hospitals here in Latin America too. It turns out all of the big tech and medical technology items in hospitals, CAT scanners, tomography machines, etc., are sold with maintenance packages. You can't buy them any other way. That's why we can get away with labeling most private hospitals as first world quality all the way. You know, that previous talking elevator story reminds me of a funny email I got the other day. You got to hear this. This guy's points are spot on. Although he sounds like a bit of a complainer, I wouldn't mind hanging with this guy a while. He sounds like a hoot. A real character, a smart guy character. He says, "Hey, Johnny, Lawrence here." With some what the f*** comments. "When's your next seminar? Sign me up." He says, "I'm slowly going out of my mind here in Madison, Wisconsin. I need a big dose of that so-called lag time you're always talking about. In other words, I need my life to unravel, to go in reverse. It seems like my life and everyone else's life here in the United States is tied up in knots, and we need someone to unknot us. I'm sick and tired of the trends here that are taking us over bit by bit like a Chinese water torture." He says things that would have been considered completely abnormal just a few years ago are now perfectly normal and okay, but they ain't. The things that are supposed to make things easier are doing nothing but complicating us. Need some examples? I got a million of them. Do you want to know what I'm sick of and why I want to get the hell out of Dodge so bad? Number one, having to download an entire app to use a f***ing restaurant menu. What the f***? I'm just so tired of restaurants telling me there is no menu. They tell me, "Oh, just scan the code." I say, "Sorry, I prefer to hold that dirty, germ-infested, dog-eared menu in my grubby little hands. Thank you very much." All right, me Johnny here, just chiming in for a second. You know, here in Latin America, only the very, very high-end Latin American restaurants will pull that stunt. Tell you there's no menu, scan the code. Yep, Lawrence, I'm with you on that one. I prefer a grubby, gravy-stained menu myself. Any day. And once, just once, all the time I've been here in Latin America, when some restaurant says scan the code, have they not given me a menu when I requested it? The other time, when they'd really gone completely digital and had no menus anymore, the waiter actually lent me his phone because I told him I wasn't going to put it on mine. Because, you know, every time you do scan one of those things, or scan anything for that matter, they're collecting data on you. All right, then Lawrence says, "Johnny, another reason I want some of that lag time you're talking about. I'm so sick of seeing appliances and gadgets with automatic touchscreens on them. Lawnmowers, refrigerators, garbage disposals, trash compactors all have touchscreens on them now. Even one of the old neighborhood ladies, a cat lady, has a smart automatic litter box with a touchscreen on it. Even nuttier, my Black & Decker drill has a touchscreen on it. And here I just wanted to drill a hole and hang a picture. And that touchscreen has better resolution than the picture I'm hanging. Yep, I need some of that lag time, Johnny, he says, especially when I see that every company you buy something from, they won't give me crap unless I subscribe. Nope, I say, you don't need my phone number and email. Just let me buy my shoes and get the hell out of your store. And I just hate having to create a username and password to join just about anything online. All right, Lawrence, let me chime in on that one. That's why I subscribe to the email service StartMail. Costs me $60 a year, but it lets me create unlimited amounts of aliases. In other words, I can create an instant email on the fly. So whenever some idiot store, business, or online entity asks me for an email, I'll just create one right there. They'll send you some kind of code so they can verify it's a real email at that new address. And right after that's been done and you get whatever you're looking for out of them, you just delete that email forever. So then just let them pass around and sell your email to anyone they want. Because guess what? It doesn't exist anymore. Therefore, no spam, no ads, no junk mail. But the company or entity who asked for your email, they don't know it doesn't exist anymore. You get it?
So, come.
Then again, it costs you $60 a year to have that service. But it's just so convenient and to me worth 10 times that. All right, Lawrence says, reason number four, I really need some of that lag time you're talking about, Johnny. I'm so sick of having to deal with Bluetooth, having to connect everything to it. It's so damn unreliable.
Look, you've got the Bluetooth in your bedroom interfering with the Bluetooth in your kitchen, which interferes with the Bluetooth in your living room, that in turn interferes with the Bluetooth in your car and your phone.
I don't get it, Johnny. This Bluetooth thing's been around, what, 20 years now and they still can't get it straight? Just give me some of that good old Latin American pre-Bluetooth lag time, please. All right, then he says, here's reason number six why I really need some of that lag time. He says, I'm a recently divorced guy back into the dating scene. I've been out of the bars and discos so long, I haven't realized how much they've changed for the worse. He says, Johnny, why is it that now that you can't smoke anywhere, like in bars and discos, they compensate by cranking up the music so loud you can't even chat up anyone anymore? You have to go outside or in a bathroom to have a decent conversation with somebody.
All right, Lawrence, just my two cents on that subject, chiming in.
I have to say that here in Latin America, it's the same or if not worse. They don't allow smoking in the bars and clubs here either, and the music's so loud, you can barely order drinks. Here, too, you can forget about trying to have a normal conversation with anybody, even if you speak Spanish like a local.
That goes for taking Ubers and cab rides, too. I can't tell you how many times I've told a cab driver, turn down that music.
All right, then Lawrence gives reason seven why he's just begging for some lag time that we're always talking about. He says, Johnny, the electronics in cars are so complicated. I've had my own car 4 years now, and I'm still finding out new shit it does or reports back to me. What the f***? In fact, he says, just the other day, I was cleaning around some of the push buttons near the air conditioning controls and a little flap popped down, revealing one of those micro SD data cards. He says, Johnny, what the f***? These guys are recording shit. Isn't that technically illegal? And here it took me 4 years to discover this thing. What I need, Johnny, is a cure. Some of that good old-fashioned lag time you're always talking about. Speaking of switches, knobs, and touchscreens, whatever happened to good old on and off switches that actually click and make a solid noise? Now we have obscure quoted hieroglyphic drawings on touchscreens, and they call that intuitive. They're anything but. And why do all those touchscreens and everything on the internet have to be abbreviated? Everything's coded and shortened. I've got no clue to half of the abbreviations used out there, and it's getting worse every day. What the f***? Please, just give me some of that old-fashioned lag time you're always talking about, Johnny. Number eight, Lauren says, I can't stand the fact that even high-end, expensive furniture uses cheap particle board and crap joinery. He says, what the f***, IKEA? Are you evil? You've dropped the furniture standards of the world to the point that young people actually believe there are such things as particle board trees. Number nine, he says, give me some lag time, Johnny, because I'm sick of people talking extremely loud into their cell phones in places like bathrooms and elevators, playing their shit rap music on phones at the next table, in buses, in metros, in restaurants, and poolside, even at resorts. What the f*** is wrong with the under 30 crowd? They all deaf? Just give me some of that good old-fashioned lag time you're always talking about, Johnny. All right, then there's number nine. He says, Johnny,
give me some of that lag time. I want to talk to a human customer service operator for just once. I'm so sick of robot voices telling me they value me as a customer. So please stay on the line for 45 minutes and then we'll disconnect you. All right, me Johnny chiming in again. You know, Lawrence, you're in luck on that one. The lag time effect is in full force when it comes to customer service in Latin America. Though it won't do you any good. You will actually get to talk with a real live person. Unfortunately, they're usually worse than useless. And they'll put you on hold for 45 minutes too and then cut you off. But at least you will have a human to get pissed off at. All right, then Lawrence gives us his reason number 10. He says, Johnny, I hope that lag time effect in Latin America makes it possible to go to concerts and pro sports events that don't cost a month's wages. Because he says, here, you can't get a ticket for anything, even in the bleacher seats, for under a couple of $100. All right, Lawrence, here's my 2 cents on that issue. Yep, you know, a lot of big-time entertainers come down here to Latin America. They make it part of the leg of their world tour. And I've noticed they're usually half or less the price of what you'd pay up in the first world to see them. So that lag time thing has some bearing on those ticket prices. But I've also observed something that's universal with human nature, with you up in the States and down here in Latin America too. Fools gripe about the price of gas and groceries, and then spend hundreds on concerts, sporting events, tattoos, hair and nail work, piercings, the latest greatest iPhone, and extremely overpriced clothes just because they've got the logo flavor of the week. They complain about the high cost of living, yet they spend good money on most of that and other stuff that will end up as junk in a few years and won't even sell for pennies on the dollar in a rummage sale. The thing is, I don't see people cutting back on booze, cigarettes, and junk food. Yet they continuously gripe about the price of gas, rent, and groceries. How about cooking and eating at home once in a while, huh? Oh, and by the way, speaking of overpriced concerts and sporting events, what the f*** is it with hundreds of idiots filming everything with their phones when they're at those concerts and events? You've seen it. You go to an event or a concert and there are hundreds of people hoisting up their phones to film the entire concert or whatever. I want to hack off their arms. What a bunch of idiots. They're capturing the event at the lowest possible fidelity and resolution. Postage stamp sized. And then they're going to send that grand experience around to their friends so they can relive it on their 2-inch screens through their half-inch tin can phone speaker. How fulfilling, huh? And then Lawrence says, Johnny, I have a rule. When I go out to dinner with my friends, the first person to look at their phone pays the bill. As you've probably surmised, I don't have many friends. He says, Johnny, isn't the future turning out to be wonderful? He says, sign me up for your next seminar. I need a huge serving of that lag time effect. All right, Lawrence, thanks for that. I guess you've said it all. See you at the next seminar. We'll be in the spring of 2023. I'll keep you posted. All right, how about another boots on the ground story? Happened to be just 2 days ago. Now, talking about Cartagena, Colombia, it's not really on the gringo tourist trail at all. We could say it's on the European tourist trail because you could walk around all day and not see any gringos, but you see lots of Europeans. Could be because they've got lots of direct flights from Europe, but not from the U.S. Anyway, if you're just vacationing, it's a pretty long flight from the States and twice as expensive as, let's say, a short vacation jaunt to a place like Cancun or Costa Rica. Anyway, just about 2 days ago, I found myself at one of those famous beachfront resorts again. It wasn't on my own accord. It was because of some Latina's gigantic birthday that was being celebrated for the entire week. I was obliged to attend or forever suffer her wrath. You've heard me mention how crazy Latinos and Latinas are about their birthdays, especially the ladies. And sometimes if you're a gringo like me, who spends most all of his time off the gringo tourist trail, almost all your friends and girlfriends and such are Spanish-speaking Latinos and Latinas, and you get sucked into that birthday whirlwind. So anyway, the setup is there's this little bar and restaurant right on the beach, part of a hotel complex, and almost all the people staying at that hotel are upscale Latinos from the area and Latinos that have flown in from other Latin American countries and Europeans. Almost zero gringos. I'm like the only one again. I love that. It really is a strange feeling sometimes, a good feeling, being the only gringo. But you better know some Spanish or you'll miss out on a lot of the action, a lot of what's going on. We'll go right over your head. So here's what happened. There's a table of four 30-something local Colombian guys. Each table holds about six. It's got a big beach umbrella sticking out of the center of it because, you know, the sun is intense. Then there was the beach umbrella table I was sitting at with a few Latino friends and another table about 6 feet away hosting four Spanish guys, guys from Spain. They've got a look. They're easy to spot. Most of them are very light-skinned. They look like gringos, but often with very dark hair, like the Antonio Banderas look. And of course, when they speak, you can pick them off in a second. They all speak with a sort of a hair lip kind of lisp. It's part of the mother country accent. Oh, no, I just said a forbidden word, hair lip. What? You can't say that, Johnny. You'll offend someone. Well, I just did. So anyway, we're all sitting out there around 2 in the afternoon. People are in and out of the pool, drinking, hanging out, doing sun and fun and pool and beachfront kind of vacation stuff. And suddenly, one of the four Colombian guys picks up a bunch of empty plastic glasses on the table and tosses them over a short retaining wall onto the vacant lot property next door. Now, you longtime listeners have heard me mention how Latinas treat their garbage here. What you'll find is that in any middle and lower middle class neighborhood, there are piles of garbage on street corners and in empty lots and sometimes in people's front yards. And when it rains, you see plastic bags and cups floating down the gutters in the cities everywhere. Most Latinos are just terrible litter bugs. However, you see almost none of that when you're driving through a high-end Latino neighborhood or in a high-end shopping mall or business district. Because educated people litter less. It's just a known fact. Anyway, here's what happened next. One of the Spanish guys got up. Now, you know, Spain's a first world country. They've got tough laws against littering, just like up in the States and Canada and all first world countries. Anyway, he walks over to the guy and he says, you know, that's a 500 euro fine where I come from in Spain. But that's not even the point. He says, I'm just sick of how you guys ruin your own beautiful environment. You shit in your own sandbox. Then he said, what do you think that tourists come here for? Your beautiful environment. You don't even know what you have. We all heard that and thought, good for him. And so he went back to his table, leaving those embarrassed Colombian guys who didn't say a word, red-faced. And believe me, what happened there was one of the biggest insults I'm sure they've ever had in their lives because they really look up to Spanish people. They're stereotyped as high class, more intelligent, and even stuck up. In fact, Latin Americans lie all the time about this percentage of Spanish blood they have running through their veins. They all secretly and not so secretly would love to be pure-blood Spanish. So in the end, I bet those four Colombian guys will never toss trash willy-nilly again. Then again, it's all about the lag time. Back in the day, baby boomers and generations before them were all pretty horrible litter bugs too, but they learned.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos!